We are joined on the phone by longtime Celtic Show host, John Falstaff. Welcome, John.
Hello there, and hello from.
We've sort of crossed paths here. I was over in Ireland. Tell us your thoughts about the lead up to the various referendums that were being voted on this past Friday.
Well, I followed most of it on the internet because I was actually in London for the days immediately leading up. I arrived in Dublin a day before the election, and they have a big media blackout here for 24 hours before elections and referenda where politicians aren't allowed to make statements, and they basically stopped covering it in media almost exclusively. So there was a kind of a calm before the, well, we didn't know what it was going to be, but there certainly was a calm, except obviously social media was going crazy. So I was what, the big thing that surprised me was how few posters there were up. You see a lot more posters for elections when there's, dozens of candidates running for election. There was a fairly modest, muted poster campaign, and it was probably 50-50 between the yes and no sides. The yes side obviously did win and probably had a bigger machinery behind it, but they didn't overdo it on the posters. What surprised me was how tame the posters were. There was none of the finger pointing you might expect. And to be honest, I thought the arguments on the no side, the best arguments they could come up with, seemed rather weak and unrelated to the actual issue. And I'm talking here exclusively about the same gender, same sex marriage referendum. I didn't see any posters to speak of. I don't think I did see a single poster about the other referendum, which was about dropping the age of eligibility for a person to run for president of Ireland from 35 to 12, was it? No, I think it was 21. It seemed like it was on the young side. That didn't pass. That was knocked out of the ballpark by a 3-to-1 factor. But the same sex, same gender marriage one won by about 62%, which is remarkable. And the other thing that's remarkable about it is the number of people who went out to vote. Because if you look at the figures here, I'm actually on the Wikipedia page right now for the various amendments to the Constitution, and it needs to be emphasized, this is a constitutional matter. It was written into the Irish Constitution that a marriage was, in the traditional old-fashioned sense, between a man and a woman. So to change that, it did have to be a change to the Constitution, and by the Constitution's rules, that is a decision that could not be made by any politicians. It had to be put to the people. And of course, as you probably know, Ireland's the first country to put such a proposal to the people. So people say it's just a popularity or a straw poll or an opinion poll. It's not. It's legally binding because 62% of the people who went out and voted for it. It will be signed into law sometime in the next 5 to 7 months. People are saying by Christmas it might be possible for any two people to get married here. But 60.5%, so 3 out of 5 people voted of the eligible people. And that is remarkable because if you look at the last few referenda, it was 33%, 39%. There was one that was even lower, I think. It's been a long time since people have been fired up, and it wasn't by any stretch of the imagination just the city people or just the Liberal people or just the young people. All the indications are that across the board, elderly people, middle-aged people, rural people, in fact, 42 of the 43 voting areas voted in favor, and that is quite remarkable.
Well, I noticed when I was over there, you mentioned about the signage that the signage was pretty even on the street signs and the signposts of the yes vote and the no vote. What I also noticed, however, was that there were a lot of buttons as people would go around that I interacted with and that I saw on the street. There were a lot of yes buttons around. Didn't see as many no buttons because maybe that would bring up some sort of, on the street confrontation or what have you. But it was interesting to me because I heard, and I came back on the 19th, so I came back on the beginning of this past week, and I had heard that the polling was going as high as 70% in favor of the referendum. And in the last few days that I was over there, I heard some coverage that that 70% figure may have been a little on the high side, and that the polls were trending a little bit low. It was still expected to pass, but maybe not at the 70% level. And certainly at this point, the pollsters got it right in that it came in right at 62%. I think as I follow social media, It was interesting and great to see the support of so many folks through social media that we deal with in terms of artists that perform in the Celtic community, and that they were very much in support of it, showing their support of it either with their Facebook profiles and whatnot, and then certainly once the referendum was passed, showing how pleased they were that the Irish voters voted in this way. What, being in Dublin, what was it like, being on the streets? Were there spontaneous celebrations? Were people just, out in higher numbers? Was there anything that certainly, set yesterday in particular off apart from other times?
Well, you can never trust polls. The pollsters got it incredibly dramatically wrong for the general election in Great Britain a couple of weeks ago. Stunned everybody. So, the polls at one time said 80% yes for the same-sex marriage, but it did come down for the ones who actually went out and voted to 60.2, which is, comfortable, 62, I should say, percent. Because if you look back at the divorce referendum, there were two in Ireland, one in the 80s where divorce was not approved, and one in the mid-90s where it was. The yes side for divorce being approved in 1996, that was another referendum, was 50.3, so just a hair over the 50%. And, obviously some people were happy about that, some people were not happy about that. That's almost the coin landing on its edge, but that's the way it went, and that's the way democracy goes. So there's some people saying now, well, there's 38% of people who aren't happy about that. The current outcome, this is true, but 62% have spoken. Dublin Castle was opened in the morning, early on the morning of Saturday. They don't count the votes immediately. They don't, have this all-night session like they do in the States. So they wait till the next morning, everybody goes to bed and gets rested. The polls were actually open for 15 hours from 7 in the morning till 10 in the evening on Friday. So everybody was tired. Everybody goes home, and the next morning they get up, rested, and they start counting. And it was pretty clear from the early counts that it was, not as borderline as some people worried. So people were gathering. They allowed 2,000 people, I think, into the courtyard at Dublin Castle. There were some well-known people there, Senator David Norris, for instance, people who've campaigned for these kind of rights for 30 or 40 years in Ireland. And there was certainly a festive atmosphere there. I followed it a little bit on social media and on television. It was, the mood, the weather on Friday was not great in Dublin, certainly where I was. It picked up dramatically Saturday and today Sunday. So it's a sunny early summer's day here, and there is a buzz around as if we had just, won the World Cup or something. There's no question about it. People have a big smile on their face, and a lot of people have proposed yesterday to their same-sex partners, and they won't be able to tie the knot probably till Christmas. But I think one of the more dramatic outcomes of this, which I haven't seen commented on, is the potential for tourism. So many prominent supporters of this around the world have made, given us great press over this, and I really think we're going to see a boost in tourism from quarters that, we didn't see it from before.
Right. Now, speaking of coming back to Ireland, or visiting Ireland, I saw some coverage about folks who were abroad and were Irish citizens, and that they were making it a point to come back to Ireland to vote. That's obviously a little different than what we're used to here in the States. What's the logistics behind that, and how is something like that done if somebody is living away?
Well, if you live away and you're still on the register, if you come and go, or if you've only gone for a couple of years, if you're younger, for instance, your parents probably still keep you on the register, the electoral register. So that makes it possible. We don't have here an away vote because, well, there's many, many pros and cons about that. But the reality is there are so many people of Irish birth living outside Ireland that if all of them were to get a vote, it would just. It would, I mean, they don't pay tax, they don't pay taxes in Ireland. So from that perspective, perhaps even though they were Irish citizens, are Irish citizens and were residents, I think it's reasonable not to give the vote to everybody who just happens to have an Irish passport. But yeah, lots of younger people did come back, thousands, not. I don't think it swayed the vote by any stretch of the imagination. But at the same time, it might have in a subtle way, because I think when young people came back to vote, and I think, it seems likely that a good proportion of those would have been on the yes side. It possibly had an effect on their elders, on their parents and grandparents. David Norris made an important statement yesterday outside Dublin Castle, where a very humble statement where he said that, you know, he'd been fighting for these kind of rights for 30 or 40 years, and he realized that gay, lesbian, transgender people in Ireland are probably only about 10% of the population, and he was very humbled that the other 90% had, you know, been decent enough to extend to him and his friends and community the rights afforded to the so-called remaining 90%. So I think a lot of elderly people who would have been queasy about this issue 5, 10, 20 years ago, obviously with, you know, reasons of their religious background perhaps, have come to terms with a new progressive forward-looking Ireland. And I think the people who came back to vote, their own votes may not have swayed things, but if they had two or three elderly relatives who were impressed enough that they came back to vote, I think they probably turned some heads and maybe added to the tally from that perspective.
Absolutely. And what a difference from, you know, even just a generation ago, when you know, these types of activities could actually land someone in jail.
Absolutely.
And
I
so
did. I
I yeah.
did. Oscar Wilde being an obvious example.
Right. So for this to really, you know, it's obviously Ireland's progress from a technology standpoint and so forth is well documented, but this is truly incredible social progress in really a relatively few number of years.
This is true. You know, we were the first country to outlaw smoking in pubs and restaurants in 29th of March 2004. I happened to be here that day, and people said it couldn't be done and it wouldn't take off anywhere else. And now it's the norm everywhere. So, you know, we're a small country, but maybe we have a little impact now and then.
Right. Any final thoughts before we let you get back to things over there?
Well, I think it's worth looking up some of the commentary online. In fact, Dermot Martin, Archbishop of Dublin, had some interesting comments to the effect of, you know, maybe the church needs to get up to speed a little bit more. And he made an interesting statement about what Pope Francis had said to him when he met him several months ago, along the lines of, what are you doing to engage the young people in your country? And I think that's weighing heavily on his mind now. And I wasn't at Mass this morning, but I'm sure the priests who had to preach a sermon this morning were challenged. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us and safe home. Let's get back to the music.
Thank you.